Before I preach, I want to say just something about the fires in the North Bay. I hope you got our email about what we're trying to do to help the people up there. I think we're in a unique position as a congregation that at one time experienced this. Many of us lost homes in the Oakland Hills fire 30 years ago, if you can believe that, almost 30 years ago. I, too, lost a home. I was on the roof of my childhood home in the middle of the night trying to save it and was unsuccessful. So when these winds come up, I get nervous. I can just find myself just getting a little tense. So I think we are wounded healers and that we have something to offer the folks up in the Santa Rosa area and Sonoma County. We talked to the Church of the Roses and First Presbyterian Church and other churches up there. And one of the things that we're considering is having a group of people who have lost their homes or who were deeply affected by the fires in Oakland to go up and just come alongside people. I remember just the logistics after the fire and dealing with our insurance company, which wasn't one of the better ones to deal with. And so maybe just coming alongside, giving hope, and then actually, too, giving some practical advice on how to navigate these things. So we'll email, and things are so unsettled still that it's very fluid. But once we kind of figure that out, we'll let you know. So think about that, and if you might want to be part of something like that. It seems like they need money more than anything right now. That I've heard that churches have sent semi-trucks full of things to help. So I think they've got enough commodities, but probably money would be the best thing. Okay, today we're moving into a second section on our series of grace, gratitude, and generosity. Today we're going to talk about gratitude for 2 weeks, and then Earl is coming, and I just think that's going to be a great day for our church. I'm really happy to be part of that. And then we'll finish up with generosity, which will lead us up to Thanksgiving, if you can believe that. So today we look at gratitude. And to do that, we're going to read a tremendous passage of scripture from the book of Colossians. In this passage, Paul is writing about the new life in Christ. He's describing what we look like once we become new people, new creations in Jesus Christ. And these are the characteristics which rise up in us as we experience the grace of God. So listen now to the Word of God. This is Colossians 3. You can find it in the New Testament section of the Pew Bible on page 201 or in the Children's Bible on page 1387. Listen now to the Word of God. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion and kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you. So you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of the Lord. I was backpacking in the Rocky Mountains of Montana, and we had spent the day climbing up a mountain and reached about 10,000 feet and decided to camp in this cirque, which is, kind of a hollow cirque kind of right at the top of the mountain. And it had been a beautiful day, one of those amazing Montana days, just clear sky. And it is the big sky. If you've never been there, you got to go. and see this big sky. And so we're cleaning up after dinner. All of a sudden, the sky turned black, completely black. And we hurried up with the cleaning and washed the dishes, got everything ready, and just got into our tent as big, and I want to emphasize big, raindrops began to fall. I will never forget that night. For what seemed like eternity, we experienced this amazing thunderstorm. Rain and wind, lightning and thunder. And since we were in this cirque, which I described so beautifully a couple minutes ago, the lightning strikes were probably just within a few hundred feet of where we were camped. And we would see the lightning, you know, flashes through our tent walls. And then within just a few seconds, we would hear the clap of the thunder. I mean, almost immediately, which was a little unnerving. And it was deafening thunder. We would not just hear it, we would feel it. And because we were in this cirque, the noise would echo off the walls of the cirque, making it sound even louder than it probably was. A night of almost continuous, truly, lightning and thunder, lightning and thunder, lightning and thunder. Karl Barth, who is my favorite theologian, once wrote this. He said, "Grace and gratitude belong together like heaven and earth. Grace evokes gratitude like the voice and echo." And here's the key point. Gratitude follows grace like thunder follows lightning. Just like lightning evokes thunder, so gratitude or grace evokes gratitude. If you've ever wondered what God's will is for your life, sometimes we struggle with that. Here it is right now. God's will for you is a Montana thunderstorm. It is to experience God's grace. Wow, his deepest desire for you is to experience his grace in your life, and then that your whole life would be a response of gratitude. Oh, this is my prayer for my life. This is my prayer for your life. This is my prayer for our congregation. You see, I think a healthy church is rooted in God's grace. Its roots go down deep. And that it is also filled with gratitude. Man, that's my prayer for us, for each of our lives, that we would know this grace that we've talked about now for 5 weeks. And I heard Tom did a great job last week. I hope you got it. That you really got this understanding of what grace is, that it's this grace that finds us before we're even lost. It's this grace that gives us everything in life. All good things are a gift of God's grace. It's a grace that forgives, not just once or twice or 3 times or 100 times, but infinitely. Over and over and over and over, God forgives and wants to give us a new start, regardless of what we've done, regardless of where we have been. God wants to give us a new start. Grace forgives. And here's what I hope you really heard, that beyond a shadow of a doubt, your standing with God is not at all dependent on what you do. Absolutely not. It is about what has been done for you. Grace is humbling. There's nothing we do except accept this great gift. Man, God's will for you is that you would know this grace, and that it would empower you. It just doesn't save you. You know, it sustains you. It empowers you to live a new life, to get beyond the habits, the addictions that can otherwise destroy us. God's will for us is to know and experience this wonderful, winsome, free grace. That's the lightning. Grace is the lightning, but also God wants us to experience this grace that has an effect on our lives. He wants us to be, as our scripture says for this morning, filled with gratitude. Filled, always. God wants our lives to be one big thank you. Here's a great definition of the Christian life. God saves us in grace, and we spend the rest of our lives saying thank you. That's it. Filled with gratitude. That's the thunder. You know, I think sometimes we think of gratitude as this cute little virtue that we think about once a year at Thanksgiving or when we say grace at meals. But here's what I want to say today, and I hope I'm really clear. It's right at the heart of God's will for us that we are always filled with thanks, that it's our basic posture in life. You know, there's over 140 commands in Scripture to be thankful. One says, you know, be thankful always. Give thanks always. You know, in the Greek, it's really interesting. That word always, you know what it means? Always. All the time. All the time. You know, one of my favorite, in fact, my favorite poet is a man named George Herbert. I think you've probably heard some of his poems already. Anglican priest from the 16th century. Listen to this poem, and I think it gives us an idea of what God wants for us. Thou hast given so much to me. Give me one thing more, a grateful heart. Not thankful when it pleases me, as if thy blessings had spare days, but such a heart whose pulse may be thy praise. Our pulse, the beating heart, bum, 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 bum. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Do you get the picture? This is how we are to live life, in constant gratitude to God, like the pulse of our heart. Every moment, may thanks be that prevalent in our lives. It's that important to God. Like I said, 140 commands in Scripture. Our passage in Colossians today, great passage of Scripture. You know, the primary theme, three times it's mentioned as describing this new person in Christ, this new life. Primary theme, I think, in that scripture is thanks. It's listed three times. Karl Barth said, you know, gratitude is the one thing which is unconditionally and inescapably demanded of us. That's pretty powerful. Gratitude is important to God. Now, why is it? Have you ever thought about that? Why is it? Does God just want us to be thanking him all the time? Probably. But I want to lift up two other reasons why I think gratitude is so important today. First of all, expressing gratitude opens us up to more of God's grace. It strengthens our relationship with God, maybe more so than anything else. Our relationship with God is our connection to God is strengthened when we give thanks. It completes this cycle. God blesses. We receive. We give thanks. We get more grace. In fact, we get joy. Interesting. I think I've already said it. And here is actually something interesting in the Greek. Three words all have the same root in the Greek. Kara, charis. Joy, gratitude, and joy, gratitude, and grace. I should have got that. All three words, same root. You know, in the Greek, gratitude is eucharisto, where we get our word Eucharist. Even today in modern Greek, if you go to Greece, say evcharisto. Thank you. And if you really want to impress them that you're not a tourist, say, Efkaristo, Parapoli. That's what my mom always told me to say. Thank you very much. Eucharisto. Grace, charis, joy. I think they're together for a reason. They feed each other. Joy is ours when we give thanks. Grace feeds grace. It strengthens our relationship with God. It points us to God. Interesting today, have you noticed there's so many books on gratitude today? It's kind of a popular subject, not just for Christians, but in our culture. I think we've realized that gratitude, I mean, lots of studies on gratitude today. There's a professor at UC Davis, who I actually met, who has done an extensive gratitude on the effects of extensive study on the effects of gratitude in our lives and how it just makes us healthier people, happier people. And I think people have realized this. So there are all kinds of books, secular books on gratitude. But here's what's interesting to me. Many of these books don't say anything about God. As Christians, what's important about gratitude is it points us back to God. C.S. Lewis says, you know, follow the sunbeam. Back to the sun. When I was an associate pastor in Burlingame, we had our new members class, and as we always did, we had a time at the senior pastor's house to have the new members share their faith journeys. This is one of my favorite times in the life of the church. I love just to hear people express how they met Christ and the difference that Christ has met in their lives. And honestly, oftentimes, what is it? It's some crisis that causes people to examine their lives. But there was a woman in this class who was from Hillsboro. You could tell, had a pretty nice life, wore really nice clothes, and she began her sharing, and she said, you know, she was probably 75, 80 years old. And she said, you know, I'm in the sunset years of my life. Her words, not mine. Sunset years of my life. And as I began looking over my life, it's a time of reflection. So I started looking at my life and I thought, wow, I have been given so many good gifts. I've had a great husband for a number of years who passed away a few years ago. We had a wonderful marriage. He had an amazing job. We've been taken care of financially, never had any needs, could give away money. Great kids, loving family, tremendous friends, had a chance to travel, you know, enjoy the great things of life. She said, I was just one day overwhelmed with the goodness of my life and all these gifts that I've received. She said, I was never really a religious person. I wasn't raised in a religious home at all. She said, I never really thought about religion. But as I started thinking about all of these great gifts, I started thinking, you know, there's got to be a giver somewhere. Isn't that a great insight? There's got to be a giver. And she said, you know, I came to your church looking for the giver. And I found the giver. Thank you. Gratitude leads us to God. I read once that an atheist's biggest crisis is when they are thankful and they don't have anywhere to say thanks to or give thanks to anyone. It's true, isn't it? Gratitude leads us to God. Gratitude strengthens our relationship with God. It opens us up to more blessings. Second thing, gratitude empowers to live the new life that God has called us to live. You know, when we read this passage, wow, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another. Forgive, as the Lord has forgiven you, and clothe yourselves with love. I don't know about you, but I look at that and think, wow, that's a big order. Pretty fancy new clothes. Key to this is the very first words of verse 12. As God's chosen ones, holy and loved, there's grace. Begins with grace. that we know we are loved, that we experience this new life in Christ, something new. Paul is saying, as new people in Christ now, you're a new creation. Put on new clothes. And here they are, compassion and kindness, humility, meekness, and then gratitude. How do we live such a life? Well, it's not through us, is it? I mean, this is the new life in Christ. It's not our power. It's grace, God's sustaining grace, God's empowering grace that empowers us to be the people that we've always wanted to be. This kind of person, filled with gratitude. And see, this is why gratitude is the healthy motivation in the Christian life. There are all kinds of reasons why we try to live this Christian life. It could be fear of God or fear of something. It can be guilt. It can be, you know, trying to perform for God to earn his love. All kinds of reasons. But right here is the healthy, or really the only motivation that will work. You know, you come to Christ or try to live the Christian life out of fear, you'll end up hating God. But here's a healthy one. God fills us up. And see, this is why this kind of Christian life, this life that God has for us, is so healthy. It's a life of abundance. You know, God doesn't ask us to give away or do anything that he hasn't already given to us or has done for us. We see it here in this passage. Forgive what? As the Lord has forgiven you. Just take what you've been blessed, go bless someone else. You've been forgiven, go forgive someone else. You've been loved, go love in the same way. Gratitude. It's the greatest motivator, and it's empowering. You know, one of my heroes is this woman who worked in the Tenderloin for years. Her name is Glenda Hope, Presbyterian pastor. Anybody ever met her? Amazing person. She was called the Saint of the Tenderloin. Little itty-bitty wisp of a Southern woman. She's from Arkansas, still kept her accent. I think she kind of enjoyed that, actually. But the Tenderloin was her parish. For 41 years, she would walk the streets every day. She knew all the people. She did over 1,000 funerals for people who lived in the Tenderloin. Many times it was her in the body. And she said, every human being deserves the dignity of a funeral. And so she did it. She was an advocate for the homeless. She built housing. Her network ministries built housing for the homeless. It was a safe haven for prostitutes and drug addicts. She just loved these people. Can you imagine a ministry like that? And how exhausting that would be? When she retired a few years ago, the Chronicle ran an article about her. And they basically asked her, you know, what motivated you to do this for 41 years? This kind of work. Certainly wasn't the pay, I'll tell you that. And her words were, you know, I'm just so thankful. God has been so good. Gratitude. It empowers us. It's a powerful virtue, not the cute little virtue. Powers us to live this new life in Christ, to do the things that we could never do on our own power. Now, I don't usually tell you exactly what the application is for a sermon, but I'm going to do that today. At our staff meetings, we've gotten into this custom of when it's someone's birthday, we call them up front and I put my arm around them and we just affirm them for 10 or 15 minutes. It's like going to your funeral, but you're still alive. So you get to actually hear what people say about you. And here's how I coin it. Let's tell this person what we're thankful. What is it in them that we're thankful for? And see, this is part of gratitude. People in our lives, one of the greatest gifts we have, right, that God has given to us. I have to tell you, very meaningful for people. I've seen tears well up in some of the people that you would never guess. And they just kind of love it. Mark Stryker was just beaming. It's beautiful, isn't it, Mark? Seriously. Yeah. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to do that with someone in the church this week. Let's raise the love quotient, the gratitude quotient of our church. Find someone that you know, maybe that you're really close to, maybe that you're not close to, maybe someone that you're at odds with, and write a letter and express thanks for who they are and what they meant to you in your life. Maybe it's a mentor, maybe, I don't know who it would be. Do it for someone in the church. If you want to do it with someone outside the church, you can do that. That's extra credit. But just in the church, do that. And then call them up and say, you know what? I want to have coffee with you. And don't tell them what you're going to do. But then sit down for coffee and read them this letter. Look at them straight in the eye. Remember, gratitude is powerful. See what happens. Amen. God, we thank you for all you have given to us in Christ. We thank you that we are holy in your sight, that we are dearly loved, and that this love is not dependent at all upon what we do or what we don't do. But you just love us. Lord, may this go deep into our hearts, and may that lightning produce thunder in our lives. Not just at Thanksgiving or on Sundays or at meals, but Lord, may we be people who are always thankful, aware of the good gifts that you have given us. Lord, I pray for our congregation that you would help us to be rooted in grace and then filled with gratitude. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.